Jim Elliott and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy.
If there's one thing that letters that come via the radio program prove to me, it's that there is an awful lot of confusion. Not just in the world, we wouldn't be surprised at it there, but there's a great deal of confusion among Christians. And the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. And Jesus said, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." And in the book of Isaiah, we read, "Who is among you who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord his God," or something like that. I'm sure I'm not quoting that last phrase exactly right. God doesn't want us miserable and confused. And he has promised to lead us, and he has promised to be our shepherd. And Jesus said, "I am the way," not just, "I will show you the way, I will teach you the truth," but, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." So what is the remedy for confusion? Well, I would ask three questions. The first is, do you want true light? Do you really want it? The second, are you willing to follow if that light is given? And the third, will you leave self behind? Do you want the true light? Are you willing to follow? And will you leave self behind? And I hope that you'll think seriously about those three questions. And then ask yourself, do I have any reservations at all in my answer? Is there any corner of my life that I would like to reserve for myself? Well, I want to read a quotation from a very wise educator who said, "If we do not understand, cannot make up our minds, have no courage to undertake or to bear, feel ourselves at a deadlock, the remedy will be to humble ourselves, to lay our heads in the dust before God." There you have the answer, the remedy for confusion. Humble ourselves, lay our heads in the dust before God, and become the servants of others. Then all will become clear as if by a newly created light, possible as if by a miracle. Now that may not seem like any answer at all to some of you who are in real confusion, and I don't know your story. But I really believe it works. I really do believe that. And I'm going to take you, skip over a lot of details that many of you already know. I may come back to some of them, but take you to that little clearing in the jungle where I lived back in 1958. A little place called Tiwano in the eastern jungle of Ecuador, what would be called the Amazon rainforest. I lived in a little house with no walls, no floors, and no furniture. The only thing that you might call furniture was a hammock strung between two of the six posts that held up my thatched roof. There was a mud floor. On the mud floor was my daughter's little plank bed. It was bamboo, split bamboo, laid across a couple of logs, so it was about 4 inches off the mud floor. And almost under the hammock and right next to Valerie's head was my wood fire that I kept going 24 hours a day, like everybody else in the clearing. We kept the fires going, partly for cooking, partly to keep the bugs away. Some of the bugs, not many of them, stayed away because of the fire, but perhaps some. And also we kept them going at night with the hope that it might discourage snakes and other creatures like vampires and whatnot that certainly were around. Well, the Alcas went to bed immediately after supper, which was usually by 6:30 or 6:45. And in Ecuador, which is on the equator, we had 365 days a year, exactly divided into 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. So that the sun went down between 6:15 and 6:30, and everybody was asleep at about 6:45. Everybody but me. And I never quite got onto that schedule. But if you go to bed at 6:30 or 6:45, you're going to wake up between 2 and 3. And usually the beginning of the day would be the sound of singing. And this would fit into my dreams for a while as I lay in my hammock. And then gradually, as I would come to, I would realize where I was and what was going on. And the songs had a maximum of 3 notes. Alca songs had 2 notes or 3. Well, the one that I remember the best was the most tuneful of all. It had 3 notes. And it went like this. Would you like to join me? Now, I've had mercy on you because I have counted as many as 70 repetitions of verse 1. And when the singing sort of died down, then they began to talk. And one of the wonderful things about living in a house with no walls in a small clearing, much smaller than this room that we're in tonight, there were about 6 or 8 houses, close enough so that you could carry on a conversation all the way around the clearing without leaving your house. In fact, without leaving your bed. Everybody was in hammocks. The women didn't even have to get out of bed to fix the breakfast because the leftovers from last night's supper were sitting in the clay pot right beside the fire, which was reachable from her hammock. And she would fan the fire and set the pot on the fire, and the conversation would begin. And there were 2 boys who lived in a house next door to mine. Their roof joined the roof of my house in this fashion, so that they were as close to me as the people at this front table. And these 2 boys had built themselves an observation platform in order not to miss anything that this freakish white foreigner in their midst might do or say. The strangeness, the loneliness, the isolation, the sense of confusion. What was a nice girl like me doing in a place like that? And how was I to be a missionary when I could not speak a word in these people's language? Obviously, no outsider had ever learned the Alca language before, and there were no interpreters. So I had a lot of things to think about. Now, I'm not going to spend the whole evening regaling you with stories of the jungle. Each time I talk, whether it's on the radio or in person or in writing a book, it's my object not just to tell you what Elizabeth Elliot thinks or what she feels or what she has experienced, but when I do tell you what I think or feel or have experienced, to give you some scriptural principle that you can latch on to, that you can plug in to your own life. You know, I could regale you with stories and you could go out of here and say, well, that wasn't that interesting, and tomorrow you wouldn't remember the stories, even the stories, but I want you to have something that will have application to your own confusion. And believe me, learning an unwritten language is confusion worse confounded, or it's, as a friend of mine says, chaos on crutches. I don't know what your present confusion may be. Perhaps some of you are misunderstood. Some of your lives are in upheaval. You have a sense of isolation, a sense of utter helplessness, of dead-end streets. Well, I can sympathize with all of those things. Confusion, I've known plenty of that. Helplessness, I never felt so helpless in my life as when I lived with the Alcas. And that passage in 2 Corinthians 4 came alive for me. Paul said, we are nothing but clay pots. But we hold within us a priceless treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So if you're feeling about as useless or undecorative as a clay pot, remember you have a priceless treasure. Upheaval. My life had been heaved up. Now, one of those evenings when I was sitting in my hammock when everyone else had gone to sleep, and there was nothing but the sound of the jungle noises, the tree frogs, the crickets, occasionally a bird. As I was sitting there, I came across a verse as I had been praying and saying, Lord, what am I supposed to do as a witness in this place? And the verse jumped out at me from Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know and believe me and understand that I am He. And I was taken aback to realize that the verse doesn't say, you are my witnesses, that they might know and believe me. You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you might know and understand that I am He. Are you willing to understand?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.